a privilege once again to come here today to be talking to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week we had Pastor Ben Davis with us and it was powerful. We thank God for his life. Even at his age, he's still preaching the gospel of Christ. So how much more me and you who is watching right now who are much younger. Today we want to continue from where we last left off a couple of weeks ago. We want to talk about encounter, presence, and power. Encounter, presence, and power. We will take a reading from Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 42. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and you can journey with me or write a passage down, and then you can read afterwards. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 42. It says this, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistering. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem," meaning spoke about his death that was impending. "But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved son, hear him.' When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out saying, 'Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him and throwing him about. So I implore your disciples to cast it out, but they could not.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here.' And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father." Hallelujah. This is a powerful read about Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. What happened? The power, the encounter that he had it with the disciples and he came down. And when he came down, the power that came out of him was incredible. The powers of darkness, demons, were able to fly away from the child. I mean, I just want you to know, Jesus Christ don't want us to continue sleeping. He wants to journey with us. He wants to do ministry with us. Did you realize that in verse 32, he said, "Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep"? They went onto the mountains to pray, but they were heavy with sleep. God wants you and me to be praying, but let us not allow heavy sleep to overtake us. If you are sleeping too much and not praying so much, you are being overtaken with heavy sleep. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the visitation of God. But thankfully, mercifully, Jesus Christ was there. And when they were fully awake, that means a lot of things have gone on that they missed totally. But then when they were fully awake, they literally They didn't know what to do. They were just saying things. The Bible said they didn't even know what to do. And they were thinking of building a monument for Jesus Christ is the best thing to do. And for Elijah, it was the best thing to do. But that was not that. God says that this is my beloved son. So listen to him. God wants us to listen to him. So today, I want you to listen to God from this message. God is speaking to you. Encounter, presence, and power. The encounter that they had on the Mount of Transfiguration brought the presence of God in the form of Jesus Christ being shown. It's as if cloud covered them. That was the presence. And then the power that came through him, he was able to heal a demoniac, somebody who was demonized. And suffering from epilepsy. Within that epilepsy was the cause of it was a demon that was working to destroy the child's life. You see, God created human beings, you and me, for a purpose. And that purpose is his original intent for man to have an intimate relationship with the Almighty, living and the supernatural God. This relationship makes us work the works of God. God wants us to do as Jesus did. Having that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ should make you do as Jesus did. You see, the other disciples who were down there, who did not go with him. See, when a situation came to them to deal with, they couldn't because they were not with the Lord. Though they were Christians, though they followed him, that intimacy was not there. So the presence, the encounter and the power was not evident in their life. But God wants us to do as Jesus did. So what makes this possible are the encounters, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me bring you fast from the last couple of weeks what we were talking about. I want you to hear this very quickly. You see, encounters are unusual occurrences and experiences that happens in our lives. They are unusual experiences and occurrences that happens in our lives to bring us closer to God. You see, when you say you have an encounter or you want an encounter with God, you want something unusual to happen to you that will bring you closer to God. It will change your perspective as well as your life and transform you into a different person. When you have an encounter, it will change your perspective about God. You begin to see God in a different light and you begin to see that your life is being transformed and you see that, something is changing in you that you become a different person. People will see that they see something different in you. Disciples, when they were with Jesus Christ, because he encountered the supernatural God and there was a powerful encounter and presence, guess what? The Bible says his appearance changed. His clothes were glistering white. So that means that presence, encountering the presence, changes you into a different person. The same Jesus, but he looks so different, they haven't seen before, that they were even scared and the cloud came to cover them. That means they also came under the presence of God. So encounters are powerful manifestation. Manifestation means evidence, demonstration of God. Encounters are powerful manifestations of God. That is God revealing himself through events, angelic visitations, dreams, miracles, wonders, signs that will bring us into the will of God and achieve our purpose. God used powerful manifestations. It sometimes can be angelic visitation. It can be through your dreams. It could be miracles that God has done in your life. You must have passed an exam that you never expected in the world to pass. You know what? God has brought to you. You've had an encounter and he's using that to bring you into his will so that you achieve your purpose. He does some miracles, like in this guy's life, he healed him and cast out the demons. Something wonderful, something signs and wonders happens to people. And when these things happen to you, don't just take it and walk away and thinking, oh yeah, that is another thing. God wants you to know that he wants to bring something wonderful to change your perspective, to bring you into his will so he can achieve his purpose. The presence of God over your life will make you bold. When the presence of God comes upon you, it will make you bold. You will have dominion and become co-creators with God. Co-creator, that means you partner with God in creation. And what do? You restore here on earth anything that has gone wrong or missing. We know this in the life of Adam. So when we become co-creators of God and we bring restoration, that is the basis of what we call creative miracles. Creative miracles. If you've never had it before, write it down. Creative miracles. Literally, what is missing in your life, or maybe you are missing a limb, and Jesus Christ, many times he prayed and people's limbs straightened up. People whose eyesight was lost, they begin to see. The hearing was lost, they begin to hear. Their speech was lost or impaired, and they begin to speak. People lose their loved ones and they come back to life. That is creative miracle. Bringing back that which is missing or lost. That is creative miracle. So today, if you hear me, I'm suffering from cancer, I'm just declaring to you, I'm praying to you, and I'm saying that those cells that are diseased and infirm, today I speak creative miracle into your life, and I cause those cells to vanish, shrink and vanish, and I restore new cells in your body that is functioning and functioning well, so that you'll be well and you'll be healed from that cancer. That is a creative miracle, a sudden manifestation of God's power. And that is what presence does. It makes you bold to do things that you never do. And we think about Adam in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. God created all the animals, the birds, and the sea upon the surface of the earth, and that flies all over the place, and the mammals and everything that creep up upon the surface of the earth and beneath the earth, and what are living in the waters. And what happened? The Bible said he brought them to Adam to see what he will call them. And Adam gave them names. And every name that Adam gave to these creatures, God said, yes, that will be its name. Why? Because God wanted Adam to join him in creation, to be a co-creator with him, so that he can bring creative miracles. So when these animals and these creatures and these things that God has given to us are missing upon the face of this earth, or they go extinct, then Adam can call them back into being. So that is creative miracle. I want you to understand that God has called us to be co-creators, and he has called us to bring creative miracles here on earth. Here on earth. Every believer has been called to do that. And that is what Jesus Christ is telling us to do. As encounters prepares you for miracles, remember, presence makes you live in the supernatural. So when the presence of God is with you, you live in the supernatural. Your life becomes supernatural. Everything of you is supernatural. Let's look at an example from Paul, the apostle, from the Bible. Now, Paul in Ephesus, he was working miracles. So let's look at that in Acts chapter 19, verse 19 to 12, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. He said, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Wow. Paul worked in miracles. Remember, Paul had an encounter in Acts chapter 9 with Jesus Christ, and he was anointed. He was prayed over, and the Holy Spirit came upon him by Simon the prophet. And somehow, thereon, Paul spent time to wait upon the Lord by praying and meditating and reflecting and learning before Jesus. And then he was unleashed into society and ministered to the Gentiles. And what did he do? In Ephesus, he worked unusual miracles. You see, he wasn't even there. People would take handkerchiefs, something like that, like a face towel that I'm having, they would take from him, or they would take his clothes, or they would take his shirt, or his garments, or his coat, and they would go and lay them on the sick, and the sick would be healed. Unusual miracles. So when the presence of God is upon you, he gives you this ability to work unusual miracles. Our God is a God of unusual miracles. So we see here that encounters make us change persons. Paul was changed in Acts chapter 9. He was made a changed person But presence makes us powerful human beings in the hand of the Lord. Because the Bible said an unusual miracle was worked by the hand of Paul. So presence that was upon him made him a powerful human being in the hands of the Lord. That means he became a powerful tool in God's hands to do unusual things. So when we allow the presence of God to be upon us, you and me will, by our hand, work unusual miracles. You see, sometimes we read all this and we think, oh, those are the days of the apostles. You see, that is an excuse. That is an excuse. When you begin to say, oh, those were the apostles. What do you mean by those were the apostles? Paul was a believer like you and me. He allowed himself to answer the call that God gave to him. And therefore, when you allow God to use you in your calling, God will work with you. Because he had the same encounter. He was a buddy. He was a bad guy. He was an accomplice to murder. He was putting Christians in prison. He was beating them up. He was doing everything that was possible. He would go and argue in the court or before the Sanhedrin and argue to win the cases, to beat up the Christians and put them in prison. How bad can you be? And yet this man allowed God, his presence, to be upon him, and had allowed himself to be used by God, and he became a powerful tool in the hands of God to do unusual things. That even his handkerchiefs, his face towel, his pajamas, think about anything, will be laid upon the sick, and the sick can be healed. You see, Paul is a man like you. I am like Paul. You are like Paul. Wherever you are sitting, you are a human being like Paul. The difference is that he had an encounter. And he allowed that encounter to transform him, that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, let's look at the word present, because that is what I'm going to spend most of my time on today. I mean, half of my time is gone already. But we'll continue this message next week, so don't worry at all if we didn't. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we need the presence of God. Presence is the face of God. Hear that again. The presence is the face of God. Now, in the Greek, the word is panim, P-A-N-I-M, panim. That is the very person of God being revealed. You see, we have to come to see the face of God. When we have an encounter, we have to ask to see the face of God, the very person of God to be revealed to us. Because you can have an encounter, but if you don't allow the very person of God to be revealed to you, the face of God to be revealed to you, the presence of God to come upon you, you may not come up with anything. This brings, when the face of God is revealed to you, this brings the weight and the power of God upon you to do the impossible. Things that you've never done before or even dreamt of, you begin to do them. The presence produces, remember I said present the face of God. The presence produces a powerful demonstration of the hand of God in your life so that you'll be able to help others. When the presence of God is upon you, God releases so much power that when the power is upon you, you have to demonstrate it. Don't settle for the idea that your denomination don't preach this. Let your denomination preach whatever they want to preach, but we want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, what it is, he said, I've been anointed to preach the good news, to set captives free, those in prison to let them free. And Jesus Christ, the same Jesus you and me follows, he's healing people, casting out demons, setting people free. So what is different if we are disciples? You see, that what really stood them out on this Mount of Transfiguration, that when they came, the other disciples could not heal them. That means that is not acceptable. That's why Jesus Christ said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you, you faithless generation? So if you're not doing these things in your life, in your church, you are faithless. Hear me again. You are faithless generation. But we are in the generation of the end times. We are in the generation of Christ. We are a generation of sons and daughters of God, and we have to demonstrate that. It is not the pastor's responsibility to demonstrate it for us. It is our duty to do what Jesus did. That is what makes us disciples. It's not so much of denomination. Denomination doesn't make you any Christian. Just like going to eat McDonald's make you a hamburger. It wouldn't. So I just want you to understand that. You see, the presence will help you, will produce powerful demonstration of the hand of God in your life to help others. When someone comes before the presence, the change should begin from there. When you come before the presence of God, the change in you should begin from there. So I want you to say this with me. The change begins with me. Say it again. The change begins with me. So any Christian who has had an encounter giving your life to Christ is the most powerful encounter you ever had in your life. So the change must begin with you to carry the presence of God with you. Let's look at someone else in the Bible. That is, we are looking at Saul, king of Israel. When we read of him in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 6, we hear that though this man was called and anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the king of Israel, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, that was a powerful encounter. And that powerful encounter gave him, released the prophetic giftedness upon him. So he had a calling to be among the prophets. Then he started prophesying with them. And people were saying, is Saul also among the prophets? Yes, but then you know something, even though he had all this calling, he was prophesying, he did not allow the presence of God to change him. That is why I said the change begins with me. The change should begin with you. Today, say it with me. The change begins with me. So if the change begins with me, then don't be like Saul, the king of Israel. He did not have a relationship with God. But instead, guess what? He went about doing his own things, building monument to himself. When God says, go and destroy the Amalekites, he does part of the work and he come and argue with the prophet that I did everything. But I thought it was best I save Agag the king. I thought it was best to disobey God and bring the best things to sacrifice to God. You see something? You're not doing God a favor when you are disobeying him. You're not doing God a favor when you are doing what is wrong. You're not doing God a favor if you are not worshiping him and you are trying to argue the government's situation for him. You know something? You're not doing God a favor at all. And that is exactly what King Saul was trying to do. So you see, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, you will see that Saul, after he came back from the Amalekite, disobeying God blatantly, when he came, He went to one of his cities, and when he went to one of his appropriate camel, when he went to that city, guess what? He had built a monument of himself, like a statue to himself, and he went to parade around it. You see, sometimes you see, instead of obeying God, we build monuments to ourselves. You see, the monument can be your job. Your job is, you make your job prevent you from getting closer to God. That is a monument. Some of you make your children become a monument for you. Forget that one day they will grow up and they will leave you and get married or have their profession, have their education, and you will be alone in the home. You forget that children are visitors in your life, and therefore God has given them to you as an entrustment. So do not put your faith and all your hope in your children. But please take care of them. No doubt about that. You've got to do that. You have a responsibility. Don't put all your faith in your job. Don't put all your faith in your marriage. Don't put all your faith in your cars or your money. Those are monuments. And that was what Saul, the king, did. Because he built monument to himself. He was interested in his own things, building monument to himself. He did not spend time to have a relationship with God. And because he did not have a relationship with God, Samuel kept reminding him. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 17, he kept reminding that, look, it looks like you look at yourself so small in your own eyes. It looks as if you belittle the greatness God has made you, and therefore you haven't done anything with it. He says that, look, you just look through the mirror and you see yourself, and then you forget who God has made you. God made Saul, anointed him a king. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 17. So Samuel was reminding him that God made you a king. God anointed you a king. God anointed you as his man to lead his people. Yet it seems so small in your eyes. It seems that you are trivializing that role that God has given you, and you are building monument to yourself. My brother, my sister, if you are building monument to yourself, you know what? You will lose that anointing. You will lose that presence, and it will not be there for you when you need it. And that was exactly what happened. Let's look at another king whom you can predict that will be David. David, King David, he was desperate. He was desperate to walk in God's presence again when he got it so wrong. And he wanted to see God's face that had been hidden from him. You see, David was a man also anointed of God in place of Saul. When God rejected Saul, he chose David and anointed him. David was doing so well until one day when he was supposed to go to battle like every other king, was supposed to be there praying and fasting like everybody, be there and doing warfare like everybody. He decided not. He decided to stay back and got himself into trouble. I want you to know that in our church, we do have prayer and fasting times or prayer services. Whatever you do every month, don't miss it. Be part of it. Whenever there's a call to prayer, pray. When there's a call that you have to pray 1 hour a week, at least do so. 1 hour a day, at least do so. If you have to fast 1 day a week, at least do so. Because those are the things that will help you to keep the presence of God with you. And I just want to continue to press on to encourage you with the word of God. Now, what happened? Let's read Psalm 51, verse 9 to 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, NASB. Psalm 51, verse 9 to 12 says, hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. He said, God, hide your face from my sins. I don't deserve to come to your anointing because sin and anointing don't mix. And therefore, hide your face. We told you the presence is the very face of God. Hide your face from my iniquities. Hide your face from all the unforgiveness and the bitterness that I have in my heart. Hide your face from it and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Wow. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. You see, David remembered that he had an encounter with God. That was his salvation, and powerful. So if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that is one powerful encounter you have. And you have to persist and thrive and sustain that because God wants to renew a right spirit in you. God wants to create in you a clean heart. God wants to make sure that the Holy presence is with you. Look at what David was saying. Do not cast me away from your presence and take not away your Holy Spirit from me. He realized that the presence of God is a powerful tool to live in the supernatural. He realized the Holy Spirit is that which moves him to work in the supernatural, to win battles and have wisdom and play his music with that anointing and revelation and sing those psalms. He knew that. And at that time, he didn't feel God anymore. So he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Let me be willing. Let me be willing that I will follow you all the time. That is King David. Another example of somebody who lived in the presence, lost it, but he said, I want it back. I desperately want it back. So then, I've told you this before, but I want to remind you, I'm sure I might have told you ad hoc, but whatever I did, I just want you to understand, hoc means house of peace, the extension of our church in homes. We meet every Wednesday. So I just want you to understand that the throne of God is an atmosphere. Hear it again. The throne of God is an atmosphere. The presence is bringing that atmosphere down to change our environment and lives. That means to change the prevailing condition in your home, in your church, in your community, in your life. By what? By the manifestation of the power of God. You want to demonstrate the power of God. Now hear this also. The presence is a person. It's a person. The presence is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit that will invade our space and bring God to where we are. So that when we are praying, Jesus Christ, when he was telling, teaching us how to build a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, in our prayers, when you read Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it talks about going to your secret place. Going to your secret place, your dead place, as we say in our church. Go and be there, for he will be there. And he will have that encounter with you. So spend time in those secret places. Shut that door from all distraction. Put your phone away, put your pad away, put your social media away, put your noise away, and shut yourself in. And say, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done here on this day, that your kingdom come. So we want the presence of God, the kingdom of God to come, to invade our space, to invade our space. The Holy Spirit overshadowing you, or the place, or the, let me put it again, the Holy Spirit overshadowing you or a place and releasing the supernatural power of God to do something is the manifestation of his presence. When you allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to invade your space and make you do something for God and something for somebody to help that person out by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is a supernatural manifestation of the presence of God. Whatever overshadows you is what will be releasing in your shadow. And Pastor Ben reminded us, and I'll reiterate his question. What is in your shadow? Whatever overshadows you is what will be released in your shadow. If you allow the presence of God to overshadow you, it will be released in your shadow. And we read in Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, that when the people were, the disciples were overshadowed by the presence of God, miracles happened. To the extent that people were praying and hoping and begging and queuing by the roadside, that if Peter comes to pass by, at least his shadow will come over them. They know that his hand will touch them and they'll be healed. But they say, at least if his shadow will pass over us, then we'll be healed. And in fact, when we read verse 16, he said that people were healed and demons were cast out. These things are not just historical records. They are the things that disciples of Jesus do. So maybe you say, I'm not a disciple. If you don't know how to be a disciple, come to my church. We know how to make disciples. We will teach you to be a disciple. We will activate you to be a disciple. We will pray with you to be a disciple. And if your heart is open, you begin to operate in the supernatural power of God. You begin to see God in a different perspective. That is what we are saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to finish on this one because I have much to say, but I will not be able to do it today. So the presence of God is also his peace. The presence of God is also his peace. The Bible tells us that the peace of God in our homes, the peace of God in our churches and our communities, released by the Holy Spirit's presence, is that which changes the atmosphere. In John chapter 20, verse 19, and verse 21 to 22, we see Jesus Christ at the time that there was a lockdown in the life of the church at the time and the disciples at the time. You see, that is why sometimes I argue it's not just the disciples. There were women, there were young people, there were many who were not part of the 12. So don't tell me that it's all about apostles. It's about anybody who's a believer, who's a disciple, who's willing. They were in lockdown, they were afraid of the unknown, they were afraid of the authorities, they were afraid of what was going around, words were going around. From the news media was always recounting that we've crucified Jesus, that the next target is his disciples, the next target is his followers. So they were afraid, just like right now, some of you are still afraid of the coronavirus, and therefore you think, oh God, am I going to be the next target? Remember, the presence of God is also his peace. So Jesus Christ came and said, peace be unto you, because this peace removes fear when we are afraid in any situation. Let's read a reference here, John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm reading from the New International Version. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus has left us his peace, which is his presence. When the presence of God is upon your life, when the presence of God is upon you, in every situation, whether it's a pandemic, whether it is, waiting for a result of a job or result of your medical examination, or waiting for something, maybe some pay rise or something, I just want you to know that the peace of God that descends upon you is the presence of God. We knew that as we just told you in John chapter 20, verse 19, 21 and 22, Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive peace, receive peace. As the Father has sent you, I have likewise sent you. So Jesus Christ wants us to do the very things that he has done. So I will tell you that this peace is therefore not the absence of something as the world defines peace, but rather the presence of something called the Holy Spirit. The presence is what brings people in fellowship with Jesus Christ and increasingly added people to the church. The presence of God wanting to support the church, people are increasingly added to that church. I just want to add here and say thank you, Jesus.